So, beloved congregation, friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus, while he was on the earth, he taught his apostles the life of faith, what that should look like. And then after he had suffered the cross and he went back to his Father in heaven in glory, and then he filled his apostles with his poured out spirit, Pentecost, his apostles then became the foundation on which the Christian church was built and is still being built. In Acts chapter 2, we have the testimony that this early apostolic church was steadfast in the faith they had received from Jesus and through his apostles. So listen to that one verse. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. But here's the thing. Steadfastness in the faith, living by that faith, the faith that Jesus Christ taught his apostles, the faith believed by which Jews, Hebrews, those that are crucified Christ, became Christians, steadfastness in that faith, it's tenuous, it's fragile, it's weak, it's shaky, because we of faith in Christ are so prone to drift away from the truth we've heard, from the truth we professed, from the truth we claim to believe. We're so prone to let the world into our hearts and minds. So prone to be sluggish in our lives of faith. So prone to be neglectful and lazy about abiding in the truth. So prone to take our eternal security for granted. So it's true, we are prone and we show it ourselves. We tend to oftentimes kind of meander through life rather than running the race set before us with endurance, looking to Jesus. And history records that the Christian church, proneness, its default mode of drifting away into worldliness, drifting from the confessed truth, it's evident in church history. Hebrews attests to that. I mean, think about this. It's only a matter of a few decades since the early apostolic church was testified to be steadfast in its doctrines and its faith. And now, just a couple of decades later, here's the writer of the Hebrews, God speaking through him, admonishing the church. Remember, we looked at this, chapter 2. It says, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And also, there's this admonition warning in Hebrews, not that long after Christ and his apostles had established the early apostolic church. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Apparently somewhere, meandering. Now God's word becomes even stronger in Hebrews chapter 3, as we looked at that in the past. It says, take care, brethren. It's addressed to you and I too. Lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you, speaking of the church, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Think about the 16th century Reformation of the church. Again, we're celebrating the 500th anniversary this year. That Reformation would not have been necessary had the church of the Middle Ages remained steadfast in the apostolic doctrines. But they hadn't. They drifted away into perversions and abominations and wrong doctrines, man's doctrines. There would be no need today of having such things as Reformation worship conferences, were the Christian church not so prone to drift away from steadfastness in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And so, beloved, because we, the household of God, Christ's church, are so prone to drift into worldliness and self rather than Christ-centeredness, the God who loved us so much as to redeem us from the power of sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. That God is working in us to endure in, to persevere in, to remain steadfast in running the race that is the Christian life. And He's called us to that life in Christ. And so God uses His Word. He uses the Gospel. He uses today's text from Hebrews to encourage us, to motivate us, to not be meandering through this life, but to be running the race of faith. And we should always remember, beloved, that the Gospel, Romans 1 tells us it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It's the power of salvation unto the uttermost. In other words, receiving the crown of righteousness for all who run the race to the finish. And as Hebrews has also encouraged us in the past, we who really are striving to not be meandering, who want to run the race with faith, so that's our desire, our will. Hebrews has said that we are those who are not shrinking back. Those who shrink back will be destroyed. But we are those who believe to the saving of our soul. We continue to believe. We're steadfast in a life of faith, running the race all the way to the finish when salvation becomes ours to the uttermost, to the consummation. And all of this we are called to do in dependence upon Christ strengthening us to fight the good fight all the way to glory. So we get to possess the great reward of the hope that we must not cast aside. The hope that's realized by all who endure in running the race all the way to the finish. So our God is faithful, and He will persevere us in our lives of faith. But He doesn't do so as we might be puppets or automatons or robots. But He does so as we heed the Scriptures, as we seek His grace and Spirit, as we keep our eyes upon Jesus. There's a responsibility, a duty to us here in this calling. We are called to run the race with endurance. And if we keep our eyes upon Jesus, as we ought, through His Word, as He is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, God will, in fact, persevere us. And so He uses the exhortations of His Word to motivate our wills to be running the race as He strengthens us through the Spirit of Christ, His Spirit dwelling in us. And so here again this morning, beloved, God's exhortation, His call to us, His church, the ones He redeemed through His precious blood of His Son, Christ Jesus. Hear this exhortation by way of our text, the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews. Let us run the race with endurance. And endurance we could also put in there with patience. Let us, with endurance, with patience, run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Now we should pay attention here that this is addressed to not any one individual. It's addressed to a specific group. It's addressed to us. The church purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And so our lives are therefore to be characterized not as meandering, but as running the race that is set before us. The writer to the Hebrews, as do other scriptures, Paul especially, is employing a metaphor here that would have been familiar to the Greco-Roman culture known for the Olympics and other arena stadium kinds of games. Running the race. Everybody knew what that meant. Well, you and I, in our day, we certainly live in a very sports-minded culture, no doubt about it. And so the Christian life as a race to be run is a metaphor that works well in our day just as well. You know, I just read the other day that the San Diego Chargers are moving to Los Angeles because they wanted a new stadium, and LA is building one. It's a sports-minded culture. Tons of resources are devoted to sports. So we're familiar with running a race. The Greeks and the Romans, they had stadiums. The ruins are still around in Rome and Athens and many other places where that culture flourished. And a stadium is a place where people gather to support, to cheer the athletes who are running the race. It motivates the athletes to give their all, whether it's on a stadium track or the goalposts of the opposite team. The athlete runs the race, whatever it is, for the sake of gaining the reward, cheered on by the crowd. Now, Hebrews is not using the running the race metaphor to somehow have us become more devoted or enamored with running the race that is sports, or the race to gain wealth, or the race to gain power, or the race to gain social status. Hebrews is not interested in a race that is run in the world's arenas. No, Hebrews is using the running the race metaphor, using that language as a metaphor for the way we are to live the Christian life, running the race that is not run in the world's arenas, but is run in the spiritual arena. That's what the Christian life is. We're running in the spiritual arena. We're running in the power and the strength of Christ. We're running as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. That's the race that we are to be running. And that means we have to, as we'll see, get rid of the encumbrances that might be part of us because we're might be focused on the wrong race. So the crowds that are cheering us, God's people, Christians, the church on, is not a crowd of the world as we have out there in San Diego and whatever sports are being played. Our crowd that cheers us on is those who lived and died by faith, those who finished the race already ahead of us, those testified to by Hebrews 11, such as Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Moses and the many others that are in that chapter, those of whom the world was not worthy, those who ran the race in spite of all the tribulations and the trials that we read about there, because they had their eyes focused upon the reward that they would have as they ran the race looking to Jesus, even though he had not yet come. Yet they were looking to him. He was foreshadowed in everything that was presented to them in the Old Testament life of faith. The race we, the church, are to run with endurance is really this. It's steadfastly living the life of faith and obedience. Life of faith and obedience to the Lord, the one who redeemed us, the one to whom we belong, the one who calls us to run the race with endurance. It's really a call to live pursuing our own personal and the church's holiness. Because that's the reason for which God saved us in Christ, to be holy before Him. So running the race is not really a matter of speed, although in some arenas it is. It's really a matter of self-discipline, diligently making alive the new man that we are in Christ, so that we are using all the resources given to the new man, the strength of Christ dwelling in us, the wisdom of Christ, His Word, our new will to pursue righteousness, so that as we're making use of those resources, that's running the race, we're not allowing ourselves to be distracted by the world, by the devil, the world and the flesh, and all the glorious things that the world claims it can provide for us, which are not glorious at all and fleeting. So God is encouraging you and I, the church, here and everywhere He's established it. He's encouraging and motivating us, His church, for our eternal security, for our comfort, for our joy. He's encouraging us. It doesn't matter whether it's on the day of the Hebrew church, soon after Christ was on the earth, or whether it's in time of the Reformation, or whether it's in our present day, God is faithfully encouraging us and motivating us by surrounding us with this cloud of witnesses in the spiritual arena, with those who are witnessing to us by their having run the race of faith before us, saying, "We ran the race of faith to the finish. You can too. Do it." That's the encouragement we get from that cloud of witnesses. So notice in our text, it says, begins, "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us run the race with endurance." Now, the witnessing of the saints whose souls are already in heaven. The Greek word used for translated as witnessing, you know, as we know from our own experience, witnessing can be one of two things. Either you can witness by saying, I've seen something, I don't want to tell you about it, that's kind of a witness. Or there's the telling witness. Let me tell you what I know. Let me testify to you what I know, what God has done for me. That's a telling kind of a witness. And in Hebrews 11, that word witness in the Greek is used 5 different times. And every time it's used, it refers to a testimony that confirms something, that tells something. And so we should take this cloud of witnesses to be the kind of witness who are telling us. They're telling us about their own lives of faith. That's what God is using their witness to tell us. Look, we lived by faith. We finished the race. You can too, in the strength of God. By faith, you can run the race with endurance, as did we. So that cloud of witnesses surrounding us, as Hebrews tells us, is kind of like the cheering on crowd in a stadium where we're running the race. We're running the race in the spiritual arena. They're there, cheering us on, telling us again, we ran the race by faith. You can too, as you trust in God, as you depend upon Him, as you seek His strength and His sustaining grace. We finished the race in faith. We died in the faith, looking ahead to the reward. You can too. So run the race with endurance. Now, this cloud of witnesses is not somehow mystically cheering us on from heaven. You know, people always have this idea that those who die, well, they're still in our hearts or whatever. You know, they're here. No, they're not. The witnessing testimony of these saints is as we read this gospel, as we read the text, as we read the Word of God. That's where they're testifying to us through the gospel. So as we read the scriptures, we go back and we read, look back in the history of redemption to these characters that are these men of faith, these women of faith who are listed in Hebrews 11, and see how they live their lives as Hebrews 11 summarizes it. Let that be an encouragement to you to live by faith, to run the race with endurance. That's why God, because He loves us. He wants us to be running the race of endurance. He wants us to receive the reward. He wants to persevere us all the way to the end. And He uses the means of these saints testifying to us as one way to encourage us. Of course, you won't be encouraged if you're not reading the scriptures, if you're not paying attention to what God did in their lives. So you encourage, He can do that and He will do that in my life as well. So it's in that sense that Hebrew means there's this cloud of witnesses surrounding us. They are, as we read of their testimony, encouraging us to finish the race as did they, running the race with the assurance of the things hoped for. Running with assurance because no matter what the conditions, running the race steadfastly because the reward is just so far greater and better than a victory in any of the world's arenas could gain you. So, for instance, how do they encourage us? Consider Abel. Abel's witness cheers us on to keep trusting in the one true sacrifice in which he trusted that grants us to be in the very presence of God after we have run the race. So Abel's is a telling kind of witness. And we know that it's a telling kind of witness because Scripture actually tells us that. In verse 4 of Hebrews 11, it says, that Abel, though dead, still speaks to us. He's telling us about his life of faith, his faith in the one sacrifice that grants us to be in the presence of God. Noah's witness cheers us on to run the race in the assurance that in the midst of this condemned world, this sin-cursed world, we are on the ark in which we are spared God's wrath. We have Christ Jesus as our refuge. Be encouraged to run the race. So you can be with Him and enjoy the fullness of your salvation after you've done the will of God. And Abraham's encouraging witness is that he keeps telling us. Scripture testifies of Abraham's looking to the heavenly city. Even though he didn't get there during his whole lifetime, that he lived his life in anticipation of getting there. And God has prepared something better for all of us so that together with Him, we will inherit it. So run the race so that you may be assured that you will, in fact, inherit it. And Moses, he turned his back upon all the rights and privileges and riches of Egypt because he counted being with God's people a higher calling and to suffer the reproach of Christ greater treasure than the treasures of Egypt. We should think the same way so that we run the race with endurance. So, beloved, may we be reading the testimony of these cloud of witnesses. That's their witness to us. Their lives of faith that God worked in them, that He will work in us. We need that encouragement so that we do run the race with endurance. And think of the Apostle Paul as another example, another encourager for us as we look at his life. You know, towards the end of his life, he was imprisoned. He was expecting to be put to death. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7, he tells us, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That should be what we should be able to say too at the end of our lives. That's why we're encouraged to run the race so we can say that. And then notice his expected reward of having run the race to the finish. He says, therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Talking about Christ's appearing. Well, we, Christ's church, we have loved the appearing of Christ. His first appearing. Because He came to save us. Came to redeem us with His precious blood from the power of sin and the guilt of sin. And now this one has called us to run the race with endurance so that we, together with the Apostle Paul and Abel and Moses and Abraham, will gain that great reward of the just who lived by faith, who ran the race with perseverance and endurance and patience. That is the heavenly city. That's where we're headed. That's our great reward. But we need to be running the race to be assured of receiving it and being there. So, the question then is, what do we need to do? What do you and I need to do? What does the church need to be doing so that we are, in fact, running the race in the spiritual arena? So that we are, in fact, living the Christian life that demonstrates and assures us that although we are in the world, we are not of the world, but we are of the heavenly kingdom. We are of Christ. So what must we do so that we are running the race with endurance? Well, our text tells us. Look at the imperative of our text. An imperative meaning it's like a command. Let us. That's not a suggestion. It's saying, do this. Listen, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That's what we have to do in order to be able to run the race of endurance. So the weights to be laid aside, it's really everything that's an encumbrance or a hindrance to us running the race. Whatever might keep you from really running the race, living the Christian life, that's an encumbrance. It's a hindrance that we should get rid of. You know, in the Greco-Roman world, as we probably all are aware, those who ran like marathons and races, they would pretty much strip themselves of everything, running even naked. So they were freed of encumbrances, so they could be freer to run. And you know, wouldn't we all just chuckle and shake our heads if we went to, say, the Boston Marathon or some other marathon, and we saw these, you know, usually these lean Kenyans that tend to win the race, right? They're prepared, they're ready, they're stripped down, they're ready to go, they're ready to run the race. They got no hindrances, and some guy shows up, you know, who's overweight. He's wearing hiking boots, and he's got this coat and a backpack filled with water bottles and protein bars. We'd say, really? Right? There's no way this guy can finish the race. Well, spiritually, we have to think the same way. What is it that encumbers us? What is it that hinders us from running the spiritual race, living the Christian life? What is it? Again, it's whatever. Look at your own life. It's whatever does not help us to run the race. Whatever might be an obstacle to living as a follower of Christ. John Piper had this helpful commentary on this text. He says, Hebrews 12:1 is a command to look at your life, to think hard about what you are doing, and get ruthless about what stays and what goes. Now, that's how we should be thinking. This is an imperative to us. And I think we're too often say, we meander. This is what we're called to do. So what he's helpfully saying, John Piper, is that we should be asking the question all the time, is this what I'm doing, this thing that I'm engaged with, that I covet, whatever it might be, is this helpful to me running the race? And if it's not, then, perhaps we should spend less time on that activity or that thing or be with those people. Is it helpful to running the race? That's really the question. And he goes on to say, also, in terms of what to note here, note the times that are wasted and thrown away. Note the times. In other words, the time we spend. Then he goes on to say, when you have made all these notations, pray your way through to resolve and a pattern of dismantling these encumbrances and resisting these sins and breaking old habits. And don't rise up, and this is something we need to hear, and don't rise up against the Bible at this point and say, I can't change. That's not who I am. That is, to do this, what God calls us to do. And again, we're prone to say that. I've heard it said. I probably thought it myself. A.W. Pink gives this helpful insight as well about laying aside every weight and sin. He says it's a call to daily mortification, meaning put to death the old man, of our hearts to all that would mar, disturb communion with Christ. It's parallel with denying ungodliness and worldly lusts from Titus 2. Everything which requires to take time and strength or effort away from God-appointed duties, everything which tends to bind the mind to earthly things and hinders our affections from being set upon the things above, is to be cheerfully relinquished for Christ's sake. This is pretty strong language, isn't it? But God is telling us this because He loves us and He wants us to succeed in the sense of running the race with endurance. And that requires doing these things. So in our text, not only are we required, we're called to lay aside every encumbrance, every hindrance to running the race, but notice it also says to eliminate, to lay aside the sins that so easily cling to us. Now, if you look at all of Hebrews, the whole of Hebrews has been focused on living by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we've heard already this warning against unbelief. Be careful lest there be a heart of unbelief in any of you. So it seems like the sin that so easily clings to us is a sin of unbelief. Not really trusting in God, in His sanctification, in His power to change us, in His power to change our will, in His power to sanctify us. And we should be clear that unbelief, where you say, I can't change, it's a sin. That's not some infirmity which you're not held accountable for. It's a sin of which we need to repent, if that's how we're thinking. It needs to be repented of. It's a sin to not trust God. That's unbelief. And it keeps you from running the race if you have that mindset. You know, if we say that we can't get rid of the things that hinder us from running the race, well, those things are part of me and I just can't change, that is a matter of unbelief. It's a matter of unbelief, and that's a sin. It's not trusting God has the almighty power to make us a new creation in Christ, to sanctify us in Christ by His Word and Spirit, so that what may happen in our lives, because we're kind of meandering, we're not careful with being fed by the Word, we're not practicing self-discipline as we should, we're not really running the race, so we say to ourselves, see, it's not happening. I'm not running the race, so... And we start to blame God. God, I'm praying that You make me run the race, but it's not happening. And that's that becomes really a sin of unbelief. God is at work in you. You're just not believing that He is. Making excuses. That's easy for us to do. And so the sin of unbelief so easily clings to us in every area of life, really. And then we're not running the race. Because we think, oh, I can't do that. Well, the saints before us did. God is the same God. He's got the power. He can do it. He will work in you. He is working in you. So run the race. That's where the responsibility comes into play, the self-discipline. You know, it's kind of like what can happen is, I saw this in a movie, but I've been in houses like that too, where somebody lets the windows of their house get so grimy. They just never clean it. They just get grimy, all the dust that clings to them and the dirt and stuff. You start to doubt the sun is shining. Well, whose fault is it? So let's be clear here, beloved, that if we are prone to unbelief, if we have any unbelief in God, it's a spiritual disease. Now, what it needs is feeding by the Word of God. That's what it needs. It needs being supported by people who understand our weaknesses, our fallibility, and our need to trust in God, to trust His Word, to be feeding it, to having it change our hearts, change our wills, change our way of thinking. And one of the great encouragements God gives us here is the cloud of witnesses again. They had the same fallibility, same weaknesses, but they ran the race. They died in faith, looking to the reward. May we do the same. So Hebrews warns us against this meandering, warns us against unbelief, because it's a reality. We all have to realize that we're prone to it. And the text brings to our attention what is the most vital aspect, the most vital factor to our running the race of endurance, and that is that we need to be always looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. We are motivated to run the race of faith on the basis of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, ascension, which gives us life in Him, new life. The old has passed away. So consider yourself, as I said before, Romans 6, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. And it's that consideration of yourself. Hey, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to God. I have new life in Christ. If you apply that as you look to Jesus who did this for you, and keep looking to Jesus, reminding yourself what He did for you, and you make that assessment of yourself that I am a new creation in Christ, if you apply that steadfastly to your daily life, you'll be running the race with endurance. I'll give you another quote from another wonderful writer who knew the Scriptures really well, John Owen. He says this, hear this, a constant view of the glory of Christ will revive our souls and cause our spiritual lives to flourish and thrive. The more we behold the glory of Christ by faith now, the more spiritual and the more heavenly will be the state of our souls. The reason why the spiritual life in our souls decays and withers is because we fill our minds full of other things. But when the mind is filled with thoughts of Christ and His glory, these things will be expelled. This is how our spiritual lives are revived. You hear that? And that's true. So we are to be looking to Jesus as an encouraging motivation to run the race of endurance for several reasons. One is, Jesus is the most excellent example of running the race by faith. When our text says that He is the founder of our faith, that really we should think of that. He's the forerunner, the pioneer of the life of faith, of running the race with endurance. He blazed the trail, and we are to follow it as His disciples, looking to Him. It's in His strength and by His, also get this, by His interceding on our behalf when we fail as we run the race, when we have doubts, when we're not doing it as we know we should. He is the example to us and the assurance that even though we fail along the way, we're no longer under condemnation. We get up and we do it again in His strength, knowing that we're forgiven for even that sin. We know we'll have inevitable failures along the way, because we're still living on this earth. We still have our mortal bodies. We still have a sinful nature to contend with. But God is faithful, and He encourages us, look to Jesus and run the race. Follow Him. And look at what Jesus did. He ran the race for which God sent Him to run all the way to its finish, which was, He said it's finished when He suffered the cross, when He had died for our sins. And how did Jesus suffer the cross? Our text tells us, for our encouragement. And remember that Jesus says to us, if we are to be followers of His, what must we do? Take up the cross, deny yourself, right? Take up your cross, deny yourself. He endured the cross cheerfully. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before Him. You have joy set before you as you take up your cross, as you run the race. The joy of the fulfillment of salvation, being with the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth forever. The heavenly treasures yours forever. So the joy after suffering the cross was His being glorified. Our joy is that we will be glorified in Christ upon His return after we have finished the race. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, says to us, to give us context for following Jesus and running the race of endurance, he says, to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. In other words, running the race is following in His steps. Running it with the joy that awaits is following His steps. That's motivation for running the race, because of, look at the reward that comes. And so, beloved, we should run the race of endurance for the joy that is set before us, being with Jesus in glory. He saw the crown beyond the cross, and we see our crown of righteousness beyond our taking up the cross all the way to this life, fighting the good fight, running the race with endurance. We see the crown that awaits us. So run the race with endurance. Fight the good fight all the way to the finish. And so get rid. That's our calling. That's the encouragement to us. It's a process for us. But get rid of all the encumbrances that we might be too enamored with. Yeah. We can enjoy the creation, but we shouldn't be enslaved to it. So that we might be motivated, as the saints were before us, and by the crown that awaits, to run the race with assurance and endurance, having laid aside all the weights, all the encumbrances, the sin that so easily besets us, as we look to Jesus. And so, beloved, let's take heed to this text. As we are the body of Christ, let us indeed lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race set before us with endurance, looking always, looking continuously by way of God's Word to Jesus, who is leading us to glory. So, let us run the Christian marathon with endurance, looking to Jesus. Amen.